First, WNPR's reporting project in Puerto Rico continues. The island next door focuses on the recovery efforts post-Hurricane Maria and Connecticut's close relationship with the island. WNPR's news director Jeff Cohen and reporter Ryan Karen King returned to the island for a second trip last week. Jeff Cohen joins us now to talk about the people they've met and the stories they've uncovered over the last 10 days. Jeff, welcome back to Where We Live.
Good morning, Lucy.
So how does it look on the ground?
You know, it's a good question. The minute we got here, and we're in Old San Juan right now, the minute we got here, we noticed, you know, more line workers. Old San Juan was nearly completely dark about 5 or 6 weeks ago when we first were here. Now it's at nighttime. There are many more lights. The streets are lit and the restaurants are starting to open. Stores are starting to open. And in fact, tourists are starting to come. We were here late last week when 7,000 people got off tourist boats filling the streets briefly of Old San Juan. So things are starting to normalize a bit. But then whenever you go to other parts of the island, even just, you know, around in and around San Juan or outside of San Juan, a town called Bayamon, people are still without power. People, in many cases, are still without water. On the highways, you see people constantly driving with supplies, MREs, trucks full of bottled water. So, you know, on the one hand, power is coming up in many places. And on the other hand, in very, very many other places, power is not. And supplies and basic services are still, you know, relatively in need.
That might be surprising to our listeners, Jeff, to hear that tourists are arriving in San Juan. So they're okay with the amenities in the hotels there?
You know, it depends on where you go. I'm trying to hook up with some tourists who are here, but I think they probably left by now. But they were here for a wedding. But some tourists were a little iffy about it, about even getting off the boat, who we spoke with, because they felt maybe conflicted, a little bad about getting off this, you know, fancy cruise liner onto an island that really is suffering. You know, Lucy, one other place we visited was a town called Orocovis, which is up in the mountains of central Puerto Rico. And we went there to visit an after-school program.
So tell us about the children there and the staff. Who's working there with these children? What are they doing?
Sure. We found this school. It's in a town called Orocovis. It's up in the mountains. And school in many parts of Puerto Rico ends at 12:30. It normally would begin at 8 and end around 3. School in many places now begins at 7:30, ends at 12:30. And that's because there's no lights. So and it's, you know, it's hot. And so kids are getting out earlier than before, and kids get bored, and kids have nothing to do. So this is an after-school program that is intended to help them get back to a sense of normal. And I spoke with one man, his name is Luis Santiago, and he came to pick up his grandson.
It's a little bit difficult, you know, have normality. We don't go to the, you know, to the movie. We don't go to the you know, places where before we can go, you know. But before was great, but now it's very difficult.
This after-school program, there's a Connecticut connection. How did you find it in this mountain town?
Sure. It is, this after-school program began with some support from an organization called Save the Children. They are based in Connecticut. But if you speak with them, really, the type of support that they're giving is to a minor extent financial, but it's really experience. They do this sort of international relief work and have done it for some time. And so they serve as a resource for local community members who say, look, what we're hearing from parents who work, parents who are looking for work, is that our kids, without technology, without electricity, without water, are still suffering the trauma of Hurricane Maria and need to get back to some sense of normalcy, and we could use an after-school program. And that's how we found the school, and that's what we saw when we got there.
You also spoke to Eugenio Soto Santiago. What did he tell you?
You know, he got to that same idea that kids are still very much processing what they saw 2 months ago.
Los primeros días que nosotros le preguntábamos qué vieron, ellos lloraban y decían.
So when the children came back to school, we asked them, what did you see? What did you experience? And they started to talk about the wind, they started to talk about the rain, and when they opened the door and they saw all of the destruction, they were really scared that Puerto Rico would never be the same again.
You also talked to him about what the children have been saying since they've been back in school. What did he tell you?
You know, again, what he touched on, and that was Eugenio Soto speaking through a translator, obviously. And what he said on that, Lucy, is that kids are, they're comparing themselves a bit to nature, which, you know, all of these trees around in San Juan lost their leaves, in Puerto Rico lost their leaves, but they're seeing the leaves grow back. And they're noticing that and sort of taking it as a bit of a metaphor, even if they wouldn't even know the word metaphor at 6 years old. And so here's a little bit of that.
Ya se ven más felices, ya se ven, ya salimos. Y cuando ellos dicen, mira, mister, ya el árbol de casa floreció. Ya aquel árbol que era de
now, after Maria, they are very happy to be back in school and seeing that their lives are normal, even though so many things have changed. They may have lost a tree in their yard, but they can see an oak tree that now is beginning to show flowers. And they're working through, even though we don't have electricity, and sometimes we don't have water, they're returning back to that this is our new normal, and they're able to handle it.
Any idea when these children will be able to go back to full-day school, Jeff? What are the parents and the administrators telling you?
I think they don't really have an answer on that one, Lucy, because it's really dependent on the electricity. And in some of these mountain villages and towns and cities, really, it's just a huge, huge task to get power back. When you drive around the island, what you see is power lines still everywhere. In immeasurable numbers. So it's a long job ahead on that front.
This is Where We Live. I'm Lucy Nalpathanchil. I'm speaking with WNPR's news director, Jeff Cohen. He and reporter Ryan Karen King are back on the island, Puerto Rico, to continue the coverage that WNPR has been bringing you on the connection between Connecticut and Puerto Rico. Now, you also met up with someone that most of our listeners are familiar with, and that's former Hartford Mayor Pedro Segarra.
That's right. We spent a full day with Pedro Segarra yesterday. We went to, we met him in the town where he has a home now in Rincon, which is a beachside town way out on the west side of the island. And then we went to visit his family super high up in the mountains in a place called Maricao, which is where his grandparents used to live. And his family still lives there. His family had to dig out from a mudslide. It took him about 3 or 4 days to even really to be able to leave their house. We met his cousin who is a parish priest, and you'll hear from him later this week. We met with a cousin of his who worked at a fishery where that was completely destroyed, a fish hatchery, and 35 or 40,000 fish just died in a flood. And so that was an interesting day yesterday. And then, you know, Lucy, one of the highlights so far was you can't always be living Hurricane Maria. As a New Orleanian who lived through from afar, but with my family in New Orleans, Katrina, you know that hurricane damage and things like these are profoundly important and they leave deep effects, but you can't live them all the time or you won't really stay very sane. And so we met some people, two people who had lived in Connecticut, a guy named Andres Yambo, who was in Hartford for about 4 years earlier in the 2000s, a woman named Maria Enid Rodriguez, who lived in New Britain for 25 years. She's still got family in Connecticut. And they are volunteers at a music house, a place in a town called Calle, where every Friday and Saturday night they open the doors right in the main square for free. Anybody who wants to come in can come in. If you want a beer, that's all you pay for. And it is, the house was packed. The room was packed, full of people singing, celebrating. It's Christmas season. People are starting to get into the Christmas song mode, full of guitars and cuatros, which is the Puerto Rican stringed instrument, percussion instruments. And it really was a celebration of music and life. And it's a chance, as one person said, for everybody just to breathe and to come together and celebrate. And that was really an inspiring way to spend an evening.
Where are you headed to next, Jeff?
Today we're going to get some work done and go around and do some more photography. Tomorrow we are going way out to the eastern part of the island to a town called Fajardo, where ferries leave to various destinations, island destinations. And we're going to be looking into a little bit more of that angle of tourism until we come back later in the week.
I'm curious, Jeff, I was talking with someone about WNPR's reporting project, The Island Next Door, and someone was saying to me that they haven't been seeing a lot of coverage in mainstream media. And I'm curious, are you running into other reporters on the ground there?
That's a funny story. Only once have we run into former reporters, well, other reporters. I should say we actually have an informal partnership with a news organization here who let us use their office. So we've done that once, and they're very nice people at a website called Noticel. But in terms of other mainland reporters, the only time we did was we're working on a story about people who are unfortunately living in a floodplain and have lived there for 30 years. That story is ongoing, and we went back there a couple days ago because we heard that Governor Rosselló of Puerto Rico and Governor Cuomo of New York were going to be visiting and in town, and we walked all through the town, and finally we found them with a community organizer there, and there we were. It was like a standard press scrum with cameras that flew in from New York. The New York Daily News was there and cameras locally. But other than that one press event, which was a press event, I would say it's fair to say we haven't seen anybody else.
The last time I talked to you, Jeff, people on the island were mistaking you and Ryan for aid workers. Are they still doing that, or are they surprised to see reporters from Connecticut?
They're not mistaking us for aid workers quite so much anymore. But I think they are surprised. And I don't say this to what I think I hear most from them is, and we heard this yesterday from Pedro Segarra's cousin, is a plea to not let their stories be unheard, which sounds dramatic, but there's a sense here that with some aspects of the federal government pulling back, the military leaving or pulling out in small part, in some part, and FEMA perhaps changing its orientation, that we'll lose our focus as a society on the island, which is still largely without power and still largely without water in many places. And we've heard that concern a lot. And so people are kind of grateful, which is feels good, but that's not why we do it. We do it because it's an important story, and this is a story that is important to many of our residents in the state of Connecticut, and that's why we're continuing the project.
That's WNPR's Jeff Cohen. For more reporting from Jeff and reporter Ryan Karen King, you can go to theislandnextdoor.wnpr.org. Jeff, thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
You're welcome.